The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
First of all, you can be turning to Deuteronomy. I'm going to have Caden show us Malachi 3:6. Let's me and you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, that's way up in the front, where God was first revealing his covenant identity to his people Israel. Show us Malachi 3:6. I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O descendants of Jacob, you are not destroyed. I, the Lord, do not change. That's the part I want you to get locked into your memory. Someone says to you, you know, well, God, you know, he's this way, that way. The Bible says, Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. Here's how that ministers to me. It's like if God liked it then, he likes it now. If he hated it then, he hates it now. He may not deal with it in the same way because they had a covenant that was different than the covenant we have. We have a better covenant established on better promises, but guess what? We have the same God. Let me ask you a question. Did God change? Never. If he liked it then, he likes it now. If he hates it then, he hates it now. God don't change. All right? So that's Old Testament though, Pastor. That's Old Testament. Let's go to Hebrews 13:8, just one verse. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Guess who else don't change? Because he is God. Jesus, the Son of God, is God, and I, the Lord, do not change. I'm making a point. We're building a foundation. We're going to put up the beautiful house. Now, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Same God we're serving now. Same Jesus we love now. Said these words to his covenant people back then. Look at 10:12. Deuteronomy 10:12. He said, now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but what? What's the first thing he mentions? But to fear the Lord and to walk in his ways and love him and serve the Lord with all your heart and soul and observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. The first thing he mentioned to him, God dealing with his people. He said, what does God ask of us? What does he demand? Number one, to fear the Lord. And then he goes on and he starts, I believe, he's talking about what the fear of the Lord actually looks like in action. Fear the Lord, your God. Walk in his ways. Love him. Serve the Lord with all your heart and all your soul. Was that God's suggestion to his people or was that his demand? It was his demand. I've read a lot in the Old Testament. You start reading all of the Old Testament, and you start reading all of God's dealings with mankind, man, there is some times that it's like, woo-wee, you know, I mean, they're on the peak of the mountain, and it's all glory, and then there's the complete, total opposite of that, where they have forsaken God, and because they've forsaken God, the judgment has come upon them, and I mean, they're being torn every which way but good, because it really does come down to this. There are only really two options. You either have the blessing of God or you have the curse that comes from godlessness. A cursed life is a troubled, tear you up every which way you look life. I'm not saying that if you're living a blessed life, you're never going to have challenges. Jesus himself told us we're going to have tribulation in this world, but he said, but be of good cheer because I overcame the world. And in saying that, he's saying, if I overcame it, you can overcome it. But you have to overcome it the same way he did. Not by dying on a cross. He did that part. You overcome it by the same way Jesus did, and that is by choosing to fear God. Jesus walked in reverential fear of the Father. All of the prophets of old who you would know, like Elijah, Elisha, Moses, they walked in reverential fear of the Lord. They were afraid to be apart from the covenant of God. I hope I'm communicating it properly. Listen, we need to have a very, very healthy respect for who God is. If you're living outside the will of God, violating his covenant, thumbing your nose at him, and he's a righteous and a just and a holy God, There have to be consequences for those actions. You say, but Jesus, oh, I'm with you, but here's the truth of the matter. Be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. If you sow to please the flesh, of the flesh you will reap destruction. If you sow to please the Spirit, of the Spirit you will reap life everlasting. I just quoted to you word for word what God said about it. In the New Testament, Galatians. It's not, hey, I got Jesus, he's my get out of jail free card. But that doesn't mean that when I receive Jesus, I can just do whatever I want. I've got to respect God. And listen, if the enemy starts tempting me to do something off over here outside the will of God, I need to realize something. There is a just, righteous, holy God who demands that I fear him, demands that I walk in his ways, demands that I love him. They asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? What did he answer? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. Well, I can't very well say I love God. Oh, God, I love you, but I'm not going to listen to what you say. I love you, but I'm only going to call on you when I'm in a crisis. That's not love. Amen. Oh, my. So God said to them, fear the Lord, walk in his ways, love him, serve him, and observe his commands and decrees, because they're given to you for your own good. Verse 13 says, they're for your own good. Why does God demand of us to live a holy life? Because it's for our good that we do it. Hallelujah. Look back at Psalm 34 where we were before. Are we okay? Psalm 34, we'll just refresh a minute of what we looked at. Verse 7, Psalm 34, 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. He delivers them. I need that. Set free, delivered from things. I need to be separated. Look at verse 8, taste and see the Lord is good. Hang on a minute, taste and see. How many know that tasting is an experience? I can't tell you what something tastes like. I could say, well, it's similar to this or similar to that. But you got to experience it. What if a total stranger came up to you, total stranger, with a cup, and they go, here, taste this. How many of you are going to refrain from that? I think I'll pass. They say, yeah, but it's good. I don't know you. I don't know your character. I tell you what, let me look at it. I don't know. Notice this. The word says, taste and see the Lord is good. It doesn't say see and taste the Lord is good. Why not? Because the tasting of the goodness of the Lord is something that's done by faith. Because you know who he is and how he is. It literally could be trust and see that the Lord is good. He is good. Now watch. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Verse 9, back to our subject, fear the Lord. Make sure I read this right. Look at your Bible. Fear the Lord, you heathen sinners. Is that what it says? No, it is not what it says. It says, fear the Lord, who? You, his saints, his separated people. Fear the Lord, you, his separated people, you saints. For those who fear him lack nothing. You're not going to miss out on any good thing by fearing the Lord and doing things his way. You will miss out on some things. You'll be happy you missed out on it. How many know there are a lot of people dealing with the consequences of their sinful actions? And even though they may be forgiven, those sinful actions had consequences. But no one ever got themselves in trouble by doing things God's way, by saying, you know, here's the old devil saying, come here, let's do this. And the Holy Spirit's like, uh-uh. And then you go, well, you know, if I did that, here's the deal. If I did that, maybe nobody else would know about it. But see, if you have fear of the Lord, you're like this. Everything I do, God knows about. And he's a holy God and a just God. And he will not just go, well, I love them. They can do whatever they want. I'll pat them on their head. See, God loves you enough to discipline you. Discipline, not beat you. Discipline you. Train you how to do what's right. So fear the Lord, you his saints. That's for me and you. That fear the Lord, Dwight. Fear the Lord. Because those that fear him lack nothing. I say, Lord, I want to live a life of lacking nothing. He goes, then it's real simple. Just respect me, honor me. Let every decision you make be guided by my holiness, my righteousness, my Holy Spirit, my word. And then you don't lack anything. Man, sign me up. I won't lack anything life. Sign me up. God says, well, the application's right there. You just have to keep filling it out one decision at a time. Fear the Lord, you his saints. Those that fear him lack nothing. And he reminds us, verse 10, the lions may grow hungry and weak, or weak and hungry. But those who seek the Lord, seek this time instead of fear, seek the Lord will lack no good thing. So part of fearing the Lord is that you're constantly on a quest. I can assure you this. My wife was not up early yesterday with the whole table covered up with all of her notes and her Bibles trying to figure out how to get saved. I guarantee you that. She's saved. She's on her way to heaven. She could be over there in her little Red Rider wagon coasting along, sucking her thumb and drinking her baba. But that's not what she desires to do. She desires, and I desire, and I believe you desire. I speak that over you. I believe you desire to grow and to know and to live and to experience the power of God, the presence of God in this life. Amen. It's His will. But it's not going to happen if you don't fear God. If you can drink alcohol, you don't fear God. And I can list a whole lot of other things. That's just the only one the Holy Spirit dropped on me right then, so I said it. I'll say it a different way. If you allow compromise of something that you know in your heart is not right, but yet you continue to do it, you don't fear God. You're so much looking at the grace and the love and the cross and Jesus that you've forgotten that you also need to balance that with fear of God, because there is punishment for sin. You see, yeah, but Jesus took all my punishment. He took all your punishment in the realm of the Spirit, but He didn't take all the consequences away for actions that we commit on this earth. Your life on this earth can be totally devastated and destroyed by the choices that you make. Fear the Lord, you His saints, because those that fear Him lack nothing. Old Testament, same God. Amen. Look at verse 11. Psalm 34, verse 11. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Oh, praise God. Finally, we're going to get to it. I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. That's what he says. Verse 12. Whoever loves life and desires to see many good days, that's me. I love life, and I desire to see good days. Hallelujah. That's me. Keep your tongue from evil. Keep your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Those are all beliefs. The Epistle of James in the New Testament tells us this. Faith without works, help me out, is dead. He said, you say you have faith. Show me your faith without works. And James said this, I'll show you my faith by what I do. And he said, you want evidence that faith without works is dead? Did not our father Abraham offer up his son Isaac? And because he believed God and went through with offering his son Isaac, even though God stopped him at the last minute, Abraham obeyed what God told him to do, and because of that, he was declared or credited with righteousness. He didn't just sit back and say, I believe God would raise him from the dead if I put him to death. He didn't just sit back and say it. He followed the Lord's instructions and took the boy to Mount Moriah, built an altar unto the Lord. Him and Isaac both had to be in agreement with this, because Isaac willingly gets on the altar and Abraham's got the knife. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews what Abraham was thinking. He said, I know that God's promised me descendants through this particular boy, as many as the stars, and God can't lie. But I also know that God told me to do this, so I'm going to follow God. And he raised the knife up and God says, whoa, Abraham, 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 do not harm the boy. Don't lay a hand on him. He says, now I know you've not withheld your only begotten son. You know what I personally believe? I personally believe that that was God making the way for He Himself to send Jesus to redeem mankind. Because a man, a human, had to step up and obey God fully and offer His only begotten Son. That took him 25 years from the time God promised, you're going to have descendants. They believed God for 25 years, and then Isaac is born, and he's growing up a little ways, and then God tells him, hey, take your son over to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. That don't even line up with the character of God at all. But Abraham knew the voice of God so well, he knew it was God. So he went. And the Bible says God was testing him. God doesn't want human sacrifice. That would please the devil. It wouldn't please God. But Abraham was willing. And he gave his only son. So God was righteous and just when he gave his only son. Thank you, Father God. Amen.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening. and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have, and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
Your choices cause you to either live as a covenant child of God, fear the Lord, you His saints, right? That's us. He said your choices determine whether or not you live in the covenant of God as a child of God, or whether you live as an enemy of God. I prove it to you. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Somebody needed this, or the Lord wouldn't have put it in my heart. Verse 21. Is Colossians written to Christians? Yes. It's written to the church in a city called Colossae. That's why it's Colossians. It's written to Christians, not written to unbelievers, not written to heathens. It's written to Christians. He said this. He said, once you were alienated from God, and you were what? Enemies. Where? In your minds. You were an enemy of God in your mind. Everybody who's not living in reverential fear of God and living life God's way is an enemy of God in their mind. Why? He said, you were once alienated. Let me give you a different word. You were once separated, completely apart from God. And you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. See, I used to be an enemy of God. Then I received Jesus Christ and grace became available to me. I was declared righteous because of what Jesus had done and my faith in Him. And then by my actions, in response to my faith, remember, faith without works is dead. So the actions in response to my receiving Jesus as Lord make me live as a child of God. I'm no longer an enemy of God in my mind because of my righteous behavior. Is that fair? Is it fair to take that scripture? If you were once alienated from God and you were an enemy of God in your mind because of evil behavior, now I'm a child of God and I'm a friend of God because of my righteous behavior. Amen. Look at Hebrews 10. We're close by. Hebrews 10, look at verse 26. I could do a whole lot of preaching in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, but I'm going to start with 26. Hebrews 10, 26. If we deliberately, that means we choose it, keep on sinning after we receive knowledge of the truth. Now, here's how I read that. If you choose to deliberately keep on sinning after you receive Jesus as Lord. To me, there's nothing else that could describe coming to knowledge of the truth besides you came to Jesus, you asked Him to be your Lord. So he says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we receive knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. Remember, he's talking to Hebrews. So he goes, you can't go back to some old form of religion and pay for your sins some other way. Verse 27, he said, but there is only a fearful expectation of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. The fearful expectation of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. What did I used to be? Come on, tell me. What did I used to be? An enemy of God. I was an enemy of God in my mind because of my what? What made me an enemy of God in my mind? My evil behavior. When I was an enemy of God in my mind because of my evil behavior. But I got reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, and now I live as a child of God because of my righteous behavior. Right? Now balance that. He goes, if we willfully sin, choosing to live a sinful life, Maybe we're claiming Jesus every step of the way, but we're choosing to live a sinful life. We're not doing things God's way. We're not living right with God. We're violating the Holy Spirit's directive every time. We say, I'll just do what I want. I'll ask for forgiveness later. He said, if we willfully sin after we come to know the real truth, then there remains the only thing left living in that kind of a delusion and that kind of deception is a fearful expectation of judgment and a raging fire for those who will consume the enemies of God. How was I enemy of God? Because of my evil behavior. So if I'm still behaving in an evil manner, what does that make me? An enemy of God. Now, I can almost sense somebody's going, you're just doing away with grace completely. No, I'm not. I'm balancing grace. The Bible says don't use the grace of Jesus Christ as a license for sin. A lot of people are like, well, I don't need no license for sin. I've been doing it all the time without one. Don't excuse sin because Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross so that we don't have to sin. And if I choose to sin anyway, what does it say? You're putting yourself in a position where you're living like you're an enemy of God. And you're going to be judged for that. Consequences. I could stand up here all day and tell you the things that I think are wrong and you shouldn't do them. But that's not how we have to live. What matters is this. If the Word of God forbids it, it's forbidden, period. If the Holy Spirit tells you that it's forbidden, period. If He tells you to do it and you don't, that's a sin. If He tells you not to do it and you do it, that's a sin. And we've got to eliminate sin. Jesus said this. He said, if your right eye causes you to sin, what did He say? Help me out. Pluck that thing out. Pluck it out. He said, because it's better for you to go into eternity with one eye than to go into hellfire with two. He said, if your right hand causes you to sin, what? Cut it off. He said, it'd be better to go into heaven maimed with one hand than to go into hell with two. Now, He's not talking about mutilation of your body because that won't accomplish anything. He was using an extreme example. But He's saying the bottom line is whatever you got to do to get sin out of your life, you better do it. Even if it came to plucking out your eye or cutting off your hand. But you know, if I'm a thief and I steal with my right hand and I cut it off, I'm still a thief in my heart. I'll just steal with my left hand. You say, well, I'll cut that one off too. I'm still a thief and I'm resourceful. I'll steal with my feet. I'll use my foot to click computer keys and I'll get people's identity and steal their money out of their bank account because I'm a thief at heart. It's not a hand issue or an eye issue. It's a heart issue. It's an issue of whether I really love God and really fear God or I just believe in God and I know He's good and He's merciful and I just take advantage of that. Well, I'm here to preach righteousness to you. If I stand before God soon or a long time from now, I want God to be able to say to me, well, you did what I told you. This is not being preached everywhere. It should be. I hope you're not. Somebody might say, well, I'm feeling a little beat up. I don't want you to feel beat up. I want you to feel corrected if you need it. But I want you to know you're loved. And the only reason God tells us do or don't do is for our own good. And if you've been living where you're not honoring God with your choices, you know that there's been backlash. I think there's just a tiny bit more I have to cover because if I don't, I'll be in trouble. Verse 26, I'm going to read this straight through. Stay with me. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we receive knowledge of truth, there's no more sacrifice for sins, but only fearful expectation of judgment, a raging fire that consumes the enemies of God. Thank God I'm not an enemy. Amen. You can say that. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Verse 29, everybody say, God is the same God. Say, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, now we read this. He says, how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who tramples the Son of God underfoot and treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him and insulted the Spirit of grace? It says, when I sin purposefully, if I disregard the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit and I do my own thing, it is literally as if I'm taking Jesus and throwing Him on the floor and just trampling all over Him. And I trample underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ that sanctified me and saved me. I treat it like it's just nothing. And I'm living in my mind as an enemy of God. There should be a fearful expectation of judgment. Even though I call on the name of Christ, I can't live any old way I want to. There are consequences. And I don't want those consequences. Amen. So let me end on this positive note. The fear of the Lord is a pretty popular subject in the Bible. All through the book of Proverbs and Psalms, you find many, many, many places where it talks about the fear of the Lord. Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those that fear the Lord lack no good thing. Is that a beneficial promise? Yes. And over and over and over, the Bible tells us, if you'll fear God, this will happen. One of the promises is, you fear God, He'll add years to your life. I could use that. Amen. You'll fear God, you lack nothing. Oh, I'll take some of that. Those that fear God live content and peace, untouched by trouble. I'm like, ooh, sign me up. He goes, you sign you up. I offered it. All you got to do is comply. If I had time, I could tell you of all the wonderful promises that God promises you and me. If you will fear the Lord, I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you knowledge. I'll give you discernment. I'll give you long life. I'll provide for you. Never lack any good thing. I'll add years to your life. I'll keep you free from trouble. I mean, you know, oh, I want all that. But I don't know if I'm willing to just surrender completely and do what God wants. Well, the truth is, we can't have it both ways. Amen. So you know what? I've been living straight as I know how, Pastor. I don't know why you're talking to me like this, because you need to be talking to your friends like this. You need to be talking to your family like this. In love. Listen, if they're going the wrong direction, don't pat them on the head. That's not love. Remind them that God loves them. Yes, by all means. And God loves you so much that He does not want you living like that. You're leaving yourself wide open for the enemy. Thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And look him in the eye and say, I don't want him to steal or kill or destroy in your life. Look at him in the eye and say, I love you. But you need to choose to do things God's way. Amen. One last scripture. It's Romans 8, 1 in the King James Version. Therefore now there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. What if I'm walking after the flesh? Then, in all honesty, I'm kind of, in a way, aren't I proving that I'm not really in Christ Jesus? I just know Him, know about Him. But there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who are following the Holy Spirit. So let me break it down to just this simple thing. From this point forward, we can't control what we've done yesterday, or the day before, or last week, or last year. But every one of us can make a decision that, you know what, from this point forward, I'm going to realize that, buddy, I can't get away with it anymore. Payday's coming, and I don't want it. So, Father, forgive me. I repent. I turn away from that. We have to get honest. Say, God, I've been taking advantage of what I thought was Your mercy and grace. But I'm turning away from my evil behavior because I don't want to be an enemy to You, Father, in my mind. I am a child of God. Come on, if you're saved, that's you, right? I am a child of God. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. Pray this with me. If you need to, Father, help me to live as a child of God. Show me the things that I need to stay away from. Help me live the life You want me to have. And help me help others. Thank You for Your forgiveness. Thank You for Your cleansing. I surrender myself to Your grace, to Your love and Your correction. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone that prayed that with me said, amen and amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.